And welcome in to the Thursday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you. Robbie and Rex Road presented by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
I'm all right. I feel like days like this, it's almost like you need a disclaimer when you do a sports talk show. And unfortunately, we have a lot of days like this. I think it's like more than a mass shooting a day so far in 2024. So, we're sports, so let's do a sports show. But it's just horrifying and disgusting and just really sad that this is the world we live in after what happened in Kansas City yesterday.
Yep, at the Super Bowl parade, the latest count that I see, one dead, 21 wounded at the Chiefs Super Bowl parade. So, I mean, you're talking about, I think the count was, what, 11 children that had to go to the hospital? So,
yeah, just that's what I heard. Yeah.
A really terrible situation, obviously, yesterday at the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl parade. I mean, there are stories about, like, Chiefs players and coaching staff members having to, like, corral children and comfort them. And, you know, Trey Smith, there's a story about him, like, having to, you know, present a kid with like a WWE belt to calm him down and wait for his parents to get there and all this other stuff. So just a brutal day yesterday for the Chiefs Super Bowl parade. And like you said, I mean, just something that happens way too often where we live. Nick Kieser, how we doing? What's going on?
I'm doing well. Yeah, this is all really tough, and I woke up from a nap and saw that yesterday and just was definitely unhappy about that. It sucks. The thing I always go back to is Steve Kerr's comments, and stand by that for sure. But yeah, it's rough, and we sit here today and we can talk about it a little bit, and we have to recognize it, but we have to go on for sure. There will always be a solution that will be better just for us at some point in time to work toward as a society, hopefully. And it's rough, but it is a game day in Nashville for sure. There's a lot for us to dive into, and I'm excited to hear what you guys have to say.
Yep, we'll take your thoughts all show long. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Andrew Brunette, Nashville Predators head coach, will join us at 7:30. They got a big one tonight against the Dallas Stars, so we'll talk with him about that. We'll get hot and heavy into the Predators in the 7 o'clock hour with some takeaways that I've got from the game the other night that really have to do with the season as a whole. We'll get into that coming up at the 7 o'clock hour. Preds Pick the Click coming up at 8:45. Yesterday, Brian Callahan introducing the coordinators over at St. Thomas Sports Park. So Denard Wilson introduced, Nick Holes introduced as well. And it was interesting, Joe. There's a lot to get to from the press conference yesterday, including some in media shouting that we'll get to, I guess, here in just a few seconds. But overall, what did you make of what Brian Callahan and the coordinators had to say yesterday with the Tennessee Titans?
Well, overall, and I have to echo, what I heard Willie say on Caroline Willie DeMace, which is like, you know, the one big takeaway, and I mean, I guess you can't help but think of it selfishly a little bit. You know, selfishly speaking, it's going to be great talking to these folks. And yeah, like it's quite a change in terms of public persona and just sort of, you know, willingness to get into things and have conversations when you go from Vrabel to Callahan. That becomes kind of like more clear, you know, each time. So that's great. It doesn't win you a football game, but from the media perspective, and I do think, you know, like fans will appreciate that, right? I thought Denard Wilson, it was one of those, like, as he's talking, it's like I can see people running through a wall when he's coaching. I thought he had a lot of good things to say, and I thought with Nick Holtz and with Callahan both, there was more kind of fleshing out of what they're seeing in Will Levis. And I mean, again, I don't expect him to come out and say, yeah, you know, really don't think he's very good, but hey, we're going to try. But, I mean, there were some pretty emphatic statements about what they think he can be.
Yeah, it was interesting to hear Brian Callahan also talk about the process of bringing his father along with him to work now that it's actually been made official. I mean, you know, obviously he didn't, you know, he was asked about that in his introductory press conference. He's like, well, he's under contract, so not going to get much into that. But like the process of what that was like, he talked about how there wasn't really an interview process. It was more just he wanted to come work here and trying to make that work. You know, it kind of ruins the idea of, so Dad, tell me what you think your strengths and weaknesses are and what you could bring to this position here. But I never really thought there would be like an actual interview process between he and his father, but it was fun to think about that thing. But just went through the process of like the contractual situation with the Browns and whether or not, you know, at one point wondering if it would work and if the Browns would actually do that, and they did, and kind of went through that whole process of, you know, now his dad's driving to work with him every day and he's forgotten more football than he knows and all that other stuff. It was cool to kind of hear him go through the process of bringing his dad on the coaching staff with him.
Yeah, Brian, the problem is I care too much. I work too hard.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah, Dad, yeah, that resume. Let's get that in. That needs to be on Manila, okay?
Yeah
come on. Let's get an updated resume. Yeah. It's funny because I don't know. I wasn't able to be there yesterday. I had another previously arranged assignment, but I don't know who asked it, but it is funny to think about. Like, I could see some people in this situation still saying, oh, yeah, you know, we had an interview, you know. And it's like, I appreciate it. He would basically laughed at it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, come on. I mean, you know, I know who he is, and everybody knows who he is and what he's done and all that stuff. I also like that he laughed when someone asked him if Bill Callahan will be living with him. Like, now, Grandpa's got his own spot. So, you know.
He can afford his own place.
Probably better that way. Yeah, yeah.
It was an interesting day from Brian Callahan from a multitude of fronts. I thought his answers were really good. I thought, you know, as you pointed out, the detail that he went into about some decisions that he made with his staff was good, and it was good to hear that from the Titans head coach. And then there was some back and forth yelling at the media, which if you watch the video of Brian Callahan's face as all this was going down, is pretty amazing. Here's what happened yesterday at the press conference over at St. Thomas Sports Park.
What's the head coach?
Brian, what's it like?
You can outshout me, but I'm
okay. Okay, but I'll start to talk before you are. So don't do that.
I'm not
saying that. Brian, as I would say, I apologize.
Go ahead.
That was yesterday at the press conference. So that was Kuharsky for sure shouting. Who was the other person, do we think?
I've met him, and I feel bad. So he is working for the Sports Illustrated, so the Maven,
yeah,
you know, which used to employ David Beauclair and John Glenn, and now it's Tom Brewster, and so I think Nigus is his name, but I that's my fault for not being prepared that. I will find it, but he's pretty new to the beat. He was at the Brian Callahan intro presser. And has a booming voice.
Yes, booming
so,
voice.
Yes. So then apparently there was more discussion with him and Kuharsky afterward. But let me just say, and then because I found out, you know, I saw this reaction to this, right?
Yeah.
So let me just call out Andrew here. I need to call out Andrew. That's Buck Rising from A to Z Sports. This is his tweet, and he and I were texting. He says, and he and I and Kuharsky were texting too, and he was savaging Andrew there. But Andrew says, I can't believe I'm going to have to spend a segment of radio tomorrow talking about how embarrassing a look that was for us as Titans media just now. What a joke, end quote. Now I actually do think Nashville media is soft. If you think that was like some huge deal, this is where go to some other press corps where there is plenty of people yelling over other people all the time. I mean, it was funny.
It was.
I'm here for the entertainment, but like Andrew's acting like this is some sort of like atrocity of journalism. I mean, let's all calm down here.
I will say, if you watch the video of Brian Callahan's face as all that was going down, it's pretty funny. He's like, oh, boy, what's going on here? He's like, eventually, yes, you go ahead. Go ahead. It's pretty awesome.
He was kind of pointing one way. And pointing, well, hold on.
Yeah. Nick Holtz is over there like, oh, God, what have I gotten myself into? Who's this Kuharsky fella just yelling around over here? It's good stuff. I enjoyed it.
I did, too.
I need more of it.
Yeah, so like, but if, and I singled out Buck there, but like some of the reaction I saw some from fans too, it was just like, what was this really that bad? Is this worth just having a total meltdown about?
I don't think so.
I mean, have you met Paul Kaharsky?
Yeah, I mean, some people were acting like it's, oh my gosh, is Brian Callahan going to regret taking the job with his media members just yelling back and forth at each other?
Are we going to lose our coach over this?
Because of the media? Oh, man. Beautiful stuff, though. A pretty spicy press conference yesterday with that, you know, other than that, I don't know how much spice was to it, but that it certainly added a different element to the press conference yesterday. I'm with you. I thought Denard Wilson, I guess he gets rolling. Like, it was pretty interesting to hear him talk, and you can see pretty quickly why apparently he was a pretty coveted candidate, and the players, I think, are going to really enjoy playing for him. And, you know, Nick Holtz was kind of asked about his role yesterday and talked about, you know, I'm going to do everything an offensive coordinator does. I just am not going to be one calling plays, but – you know, he and Brian Callahan both talked about that process and their relationship dating back all the way to high school. So I thought a pretty informative press conference yesterday from Brian Callahan and the Tennessee Titans. We'll take your thoughts on all that. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Off and running today here on Robbie and Rex Road. More on the Titans coming up next. You're listening to 1025, 1063, The Game.
And then on top of that, like this organization, they've struggled to develop the DB position. You look at guys you work with, you know, Jamal Adams, Hamilton, Bradbury. And what has been the key for you to be able to get the max out of these talented players?
Well, I live by these three principles as a coach. As a coach, you must be able to teach, motivate, and inspire. And any player that I've ever been around, the first thing I pride myself on being a hell of a teacher. I'm going to motivate them to be better than what they think they should be or reach the potential they're supposed to. And I'm going to inspire them to go get it. And the coaches that we have on the staff, they have the same mantra. They believe in the same thing. So when we get a player, whether we in free agency or in a draft, those are our guys. And we're going to do everything we can in our power to teach, motivate, and inspire them to maximize their potential and goddamn have success.
That was Denard Wilson yesterday, new Titans defensive coordinator. Teach, motivate, and inspire. And Joe, that was one of those answers we were talking about in terms of gets a little fired up listening to Denard Wilson yesterday. I enjoyed it. Good stuff from him.
Yep. Very, very, very ball coach for sure. It's funny because we're trying to figure out what Vrabel's three words were.
I know Horns relentless was in words. There.
Yeah, relentless, smart, and something. But yeah. He is ready to go. By the way, just, you know, like I said, Tom Bruce at SI there, Maven site for the Titans. Nabijah Wilborn.
There you go.
That's Paul Kaharsky's boxing partner in Titans media now.
Good to know.
But yeah, exactly. Just want to make sure that I had that, you know, accurate. But yeah, Denard Wilson was, I mean, he had a lot to say, and it was really interesting. You know, talking about, you know, the different coordinators, obviously, that he, and, you know, Greg Williams being one of them that he came up with, talking about the coaches and also, of course, about that relationship with Rand that goes way back and how they talked about, you know, what might be someday with them working together.
Well, and, you know, there's obviously been a lot of conversation about Rand Carthon ever since he's had this, I guess, promotion is the right word to think about it. And he's the one that's got final say and in charge and all these things now. And, you know, we've talked about the statement that Amy Adams Strunk put out of, you know, how this makes Rand Carthon makes the Titans a destination for players out there. And, you know, could that really be the case for a general manager? It does sound like the Carthon relationship with Wilson was a big factor in him ending up here. And look, we'll have to see whether or not, you know, he's a good defensive coordinator. I'll be honest with you, I love the background that he has. I love the coaches that he's worked with in the past. So all those things I think are really encouraging about Denard Wilson here. But it does sound like the Rand Carthon part of this was a big factor of Denard Wilson coming here.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and again, that's where if relationships and the people person, because again, I mean, Brian Callahan said it again too. And, you know, he's one of as big a people person as there is. He said that about Rand Carthon. So, that's where, you know, it could pay off. I thought Denard Wilson also, you know, talking about a little bit about Jeff Simmons and,
yep,
you know, the idea that, he can affect a game all by himself, I think was the quote, which is, you know, true. And obviously going to be a big, big key to early success for Denard Wilson is having the best version of him.
What did you make of Nick Holtz on the other side of the ball, and what he had to say yesterday at the press conference?
I actually really liked that quote, too. It was like, it's just like a regular offensive coordinator, yeah. But I just don't call plays.
Yeah, that was good. I enjoyed that.
I think the big thing, you know, with him that stood out was, you know, obviously there's a lot of talk, too, you know, speaking of relationships. I mean, at some point, and Bill Callahan talks, and I guess, you know, that may not – I guess that – I don't even know if they do that during the spring. If they do position coaches, I think they should make an exception if they don't normally. I forget. But just the whole, I mean, I'm still just fascinated with the whole, you know, like, did you drive these guys to the bowling alley? You know, like, what was their curfew? You know, things like that. Of course, he was an NFL coach, so yeah. he was probably at the office till 2 a.m. But so you have that, the background, which is a fun story. But I think that the stuff about Will Levis and what he sees in Will Levis, I thought was, I thought was interesting. And obviously, I mean, everybody knows, I mean, that's, you know, even talking about, I mean, everybody knows that, I mean, this is what it's about, right? I mean, this is the most important thing is to get him going. But he talked about even just kind of looking at him last year, they weren't in the market, obviously. Last year, he's with Jacksonville. But, you know, the toughness jumping off on film and things like that. There was a lot of complimentary talk about Will Levis for sure.
John on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, could Denard Wilson's comments be taken as a slight towards current roster players? He mentioned only the players they signed through free agency and the draft as, quote, their guys, end quote. What do you make of that from John? I didn't really take it that way. I think he was trying to illustrate the point of, hey, man, if we go out and sign these guys, we're all in, was basically the point he was trying to make.
Yeah, that seems like a stretch there. I think he's just saying however they acquire players, and there's two ways, right? They either sign them or you draft them. They're going to be their guys. He wasn't saying only the future guys are our guys. All these leftovers, right. I'm getting rid of all of them. Yeah, no, he was, I think, the question was about inspiring people, right?
Well, yeah, and it was about
TD was asking him about DB development, right, and things like that.
Right, so. And I don't think it's any secret that they're going to have to add to that room this offseason too, right? I mean, we've talked about the secondary part of this, but I can promise you I would assume that Denard Wilson is probably pretty happy that guys like Harold Landry and Jeffrey Simmons are currently available to him on this roster, would be my guess.
Yeah, yeah, he'll exactly, those guys and, you know, Monty Hooker and, Roger McCreary. I mean, you know, he's got some guys that he's going to definitely lean on this year. It was an interesting question by TD there because, I mean, he said, like, they've struggled to develop DBs. First of all, Chris Harris is back.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, that was his job last year. I guess that's fair. Struggled to develop DBs. I mean, I guess really the person you'd look at would be Fulton, right?
Well, yes. I mean, Farley.
I mean, Hooker, Byard,
different
Hooker,
reasons for
well,
that.
Well, yeah. I don't. I mean, Hooker, Byard, McCreary are success stories. Fulton, and the thing is, I mean, I don't even necessarily look at Fulton like they struggled to develop him. I feel like he struggled to stay on the field, right? I mean, he wasn't as good as you hoped.
Right.
And he played at his best level, but I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily put that on the last staff. I think injury and Farley is, you know,
well,
Farley
even Molden, just, right? Like Molden, I think when he's been on the field has been fine for the most part, but injuries have been a big problem with him too.
Yeah. And he might be a fair example of, you know, the hopes were a little higher, but yeah. How much of it do you put on injuries? That's the thing. Let's face it, in this league, that's often at least part of the story. You go to the other side of the ball and Traylon Burks when someone isn't, you know, developing or, you know, living up to expectations.
There's some videos of him coming out yesterday too. Titans fans got excited.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, he was running like a slant route against the air. And there I saw some Titans Twitter people like, Traylon Burks, baby. I'm not giving up on him, which I'm not saying you should give up on him, but I was like, guys, he's running a slant route with nobody covering him, catching the football. It's going to be okay. Let's see what he does when they're, you know, when he gets on the field. That'd be awesome.
Well, what should happen is a lot of passes from Will Levis to him this offseason, you know, because, I mean, I know Levis is out there grinding now, right? I saw that.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think based on last offseason, like everybody said last offseason, Treylon Burks did everything you could possibly hope that he would do, right, in terms of the work that he put in and the shape that he was in coming into camp. And, look, in training camp, he looked really good. So all those things, like, I don't know that I worry about that from Treylon Burks. I just start to wonder now, like, how good is he when it actually matters and you throw the pads on game day-wise? Like, how good is he? And if there's a level there that he's not reached that he can get to on a consistent basis, how equipped are Brian Callahan and his staff to pull it out of him? I mean, that's the question if I'm a Titans fan about Burks right now.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, it's – if you're Burks, I think you – I mean, you got to embrace I have no idea. I mean, I think Rob Moore is a good receivers coach, but you got to embrace new receivers coach, new regime, new offense, and a chance to kind of get this reset. I mean, the expectations are – yeah, they've gone pretty low now. So it's almost like if you have a pretty good season, then people are going to be like, all right, we'll take that in 2024, you know? So that's – take advantage of it.
No question about it. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. The best and worst things in sports coming up at 645. All that ahead. Take your thoughts on all that at 615-737-1025, our phone number. Tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits tonight as MTSU basketball takes on New Mexico State at home. Pregame at 6 o'clock, tip-off at 6:30. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic Hits app and at 93.3ClassicHits.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
In terms of this offense, mostly it's a young group of guys led by Levis. It's also a veteran or two, DeAndre Hopkins. How do you go about, I guess, kind of selling yourself as a new guy to a veteran who's accomplished so much like that?
You know, I think when you get into the, you know, when I was coming in as a college guy into the NFL, you know, there's always kind of this intimidating, like, oh, you know, I don't know if I know enough. And I think players always respond to if they feel you're genuine and they know you can help them. Right. So if you come there with good information, you're giving them the details or, you know, you're explaining something to them and they can tell, you know, what you're talking about, they're always going to listen because, you know, players just want to be successful. And so I think that's how you earn your stripes in that regard. It really doesn't have to do with age or experience as much as showing them that.
That was Nick Holt yesterday, new Titans offensive coordinator. Question from Terry McCormick there about ingratiating yourselves with veteran players like DeAndre Hopkins on a young offense led by Will Levis. Thinking about the offense, Joe, we're going to get into the defense a little bit later in the show today because sometimes I think we forget the Titans have a defense, so we'll get into that in the 8 o'clock hour a little bit later today. But offensively speaking, I'm really interested to see once they roll the ball out there and they get going, what does their philosophy look like in terms of the pass, how they use it, and how often they use it. I think there are Titans fans out there that look at the way Cincinnati plays and think that the Titans are about to start throwing the ball around the yard 40, 45 times a game. And maybe they will. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what happens there. I think one thing we've always got to remember, just because Brian Callahan is coming from that system in Cincinnati doesn't mean that's exactly what it's going to look like here. And the reason I say that is, like,
good morning, Nashville. This is Nick Kieser. Hey, the Tennessee Titans introduced new Nick coordinators, Denard Wilson and Nick Holt.
Hey, Nick. Thank you, Nick.
Hi, Nick. How you doing? Thanks for listening to the show. We've gone from not listening to the show to, you know what? I'm just going to do crap instead of this show on the air. Screw you guys.
Robbie, Joe, leave. This is
my
show.
I had a malfunction.
This is what I do here. This is good stuff.
Hey, guys, shut up. Keep it down. Keep it down. Okay?
You guys are doing a little too much talking in there. All right.
That's the second time I've done that in the history of our updates, too. I'm embarrassed, and the last time that it happened was on Caroline Willie and D-Mace.
I enjoyed every second.
I didn't know that happened on their show. I'm kind of hurt that it didn't happen first on our show.
I'm just glad she heard me, because I thought for a minute I was about to have to get up and, like, bang on the window, like, Nick, shut up. Stop talking.
See, Joe, I was listening. I knew I messed up.
What if you, Robbie, what if you were home like me today and like we'd have no way to get to him? You know,
just have to let him go?
Come on, stop it, Nick.
That's going to be a heck of an update, though. We're looking forward to it a little bit later this hour.
I need some, let's see, I need some Washington State basketball highlights in this update, please. Give me some Wazoo.
I wish you could see his face right now. It's very red.
It's like the it's like the opposite of the mute. You know, it's the too much talk, too much words.
Anyway, Nick. Brian Callahan and the Tennessee Titans. I think there's a thought process, Joe, that the Titans are about to just start slinging the ball all the way around the yard. And selfishly, I'm hoping that's what they do. But I do think you have to keep in mind in Cincinnati. Number one, you had Joe Burrow, so that's a big deal. Number two, Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. So it makes sense when you look at that offense, like, who are our best players? Well, it's our quarterback and it's our two wide receivers. So we're going to try to get the ball to our two wide receivers and throw the ball as much as we possibly can. Now, they still ran the ball, and Joe Mixon was involved in the passing game out of the backfield and all those things. But I'm interested, you know, based, you know, obviously partly on the decisions they make with their roster via the draft and free agency this offseason, what that approach looks like from Brian Callahan when it comes to calling plays. Because he's talked about the passing game, like it's a passing league. He said that. You know, that's how you got to win in today's league. But I am interested what that breakdown actually looks like once the fall gets here and we start to see what exactly Brian Callahan looks like as a play caller.
Yeah, and look, to me, it's like the concepts are the bigger source of excitement than the regularity. But so last year, Cincinnati, and I actually thought, I just looked this up as you were talking, and, you know, I actually thought maybe this would be a little different because Burrow was hurt most of last year. But pass rate last year, Cincinnati was second in the lead, 63.45%. So even in a year with no Burrow, they threw it as much anyway. Now, I'm going to read you. Let me read you other teams that are in the top 10 last year in the NFL in pass rate. Number one was Washington, 66.13.
Oh, boy.
Then you got the Vikings. You got the Jets. You got Seattle. You got the Chargers. You got Carolina. You got Jacksonville. And you got the Patriots. Now, you also, by the way, I omitted one team, number seven, Kansas City. But as you can see, a lot of non-success in that list. Now, I think there's different reasons for some of these teams to have a higher pass rate, right? If you're trailing in a bunch of games, right, you're down multiple scores late in games, you throw. So that gets it up. So I think that's probably the answer with some of those teams. Like the Jets come to mind, the Pats come to mind.
Washington, for sure.
Yep. So, yeah. So it's like kind of like how many of these teams is that intentional and not intentional? And look, it's probably true for Cincinnati too, right? I mean, obviously they didn't make the playoffs. They had a tough time. I mean, I thought they did a heck of a job with Browning, you know, but I think that's probably some of the answer for them. But going back to 22, they were fifth in the league. They're right up there, 62.29%. So a little bit less, but basically right in there, right at the top of the league. You go back to 21, of course, now that was the year that they, you know, shocked everybody, made the Super Bowl. They were only 13th. They were more balanced. They were right in the middle of the league that year, high side, but they were sub 60%. So that's interesting. The best season they had, they're actually more balanced than you might have thought. And of course, by the way, when you go through these lists and, you know, every year, Tennessee is right down there near the bottom.
Yeah.
Tennessee's number one seed year of 21, they were a 51% pass. You know, 51. Now, of course, I know sometimes fans are like, no, they were 19% pass and 81% run. What are you talking about? But you know, to even be even up like that is, that is an outlier in this league. So, I'm going down the rabbit hole. Let's go down the rabbit hole in real time. So in 20, the year that Burrow and the Bengals, and again, they were 13th. They were 13th right at that 60% range. So that's probably more the sweet spot, you know? But it's also like, okay, so yeah, like, do you have, I mean, Mixon's a really good running back.
He is.
He's also, I feel like when I watch them, a lot of Mixon's runs, a lot of it is like shotgun draw stuff.
Yeah,
with him. But they also, but that's the thing too, and they've talked about that during this process. You know, actually, when I was talking to Zach Taylor, he talked about how they changed everything. Like they were doing all the wide zone stuff, and then it just wasn't working. And so they went to more of that gap type of stuff, which really the Titans did a lot more with Derrick Henry last year, by the way, and Tajay Spears. But I think the bottom line is you adjust your personnel. But I think they think pass first. It's foremost in your mind. And in this league, I think that's appropriate these days.
Oh, I think so too. And I think that's what Titans fans are hoping to see is to have more of a pass first offense. Like I still, you know, based on the work that they have to do with this roster and the lack of weapons that they've got at the skill position right now, I'd be surprised if you turn around next year and the Titans were throwing the ball, you know, the fourth most time in the league. I you know, you still need balance to some degree. Like look at San Francisco, right? They have Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, and they still run the ball. Now they have Christian McCaffrey, granted.
They have a great running back.
I mean, there is that you factor into. But the point is there's balance there that I think you still want to a certain degree if you're the Titans. And look, Peyton Manning talked about this when he was talking about, you know, with Jim Wyatt at the Pro Bowl about Derrick Henry. Like, there's this idea out there that Brian Callahan don't want to run the ball. Like, he'll run the ball, and he wants to run the ball, and Bill Callahan coming over wants to run the ball with the offensive line that he has. So, number one, who's going to be the primary runner? Is it going to be Tajay Spears? Is it going to be running back by committee with Spears and somebody else? Like, what does that part of it look like? There's so much of it, you know, for trying to dissect Brian Callahan's offensive system. When you look at the skill players right now and how much different that could look after free agency in the draft, it's hard to do. But I am interested to see, you know, what his philosophy is on the pass run split and whether or not Titans fans are going to be happy with that. I assume they will be because I have no doubt it's going to go up in terms of the passing numbers.
I noticed that you did not mention Derrick Henry. Are you at 0% that he's back with the Titans next year?
No, I would go 6%.
Oh, okay. 94-6, no, okay. Yeah.
Is that too low?
I'm still. I don't know. I'm throwing 10% out there because okay. I do think we had a in my winning debate with Jared yesterday. We had a part of it talking about Derrick Henry, what he's going to get, and I do think that it's possible that it's so humbling that it does come back around to conversations here.
We'll have to wait and see. There's a lot of running backs as of today, this moment, that are out there on the market. So I'm interested to see how that affects Derrick Henry and what his price could be. Coming up next, it's time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app.
It's time!
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles, yes! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle, it's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is time for the best and worst things in sports for this week. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, as you do every week, kick us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Well, my worst was going to be Mad Dog Russo spending like 3 minutes whining about 54 seconds of Taylor Swift on the air, but I'm gonna pivot that to the parade yesterday. I mean, kids in this country can't go to a parade to cheer on their favorite team and have like a special day without worrying about gunfire. Go to school, the mall, wherever you want to say. And it's terribly disgusting and upsetting and depressing. Anyone today, if your impulse, we should all be looking at every possible thing that can be done. And if you're a person who wants to, in the moments after this bloodshed, scream about any possible solution anyone offers, then I want you to look in the mirror and ask yourself why you would not be open to any possible solution. My best, I would also do a honorable mention of Jason Kelce in a wrestling mask stumbling around drunk as Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, you know, have a sweet date after the Super Bowl. But I'm just going to go with Patrick Mahomes. I mean, the GOAT discussions happen immediately. It's almost a shame, too, because it's just like, just enjoy the guy. I mean, he's unbelievable. And there was a lot more to this win. There always is. It's an incredible, you know, the defense for the Chiefs. I mean, there were a lot that went into it. Special teams was a huge factor in this game. But Patrick Mahomes is, I think, the best, the most dominant athlete going in American sports right now.
Nick Easy, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Joe, you ready for it?
Okay.
Milwaukee Admirals, 15 wins, baby.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Why not? Why not? I've not talked a lick about it. I've waited a really long time to not say anything.
It's been hurting him.
You have to be proud of that. Look, 15 wins is not easy for anybody, and they're one win away from, I believe, tying the Edmonton Oilers for the most wins in pro hockey this season, which is pretty cool. Really short, too, for me. That was kind of best as well. The debate that there's been this week about Morgan Riley being suspended after his cross check in the face to Riley Greig, I think is how you say it. Max Herz and I have struggled to say his name, but that has been fun to just see online, all these debates about him being suspended 5 games or whatever.
Some meltdowns up there in Toronto.
Oh my gosh, it's ridiculous. The worst in sports, I would say, and we're going to dive in to this next hour, is just the Nashville Predators. Look, you lose 4-2 against the Devils, and then you also had the win in comeback fashion against the Coyotes. There's not a lot of great things right now, for sure. The special teams are struggling. The Preds have a tough game tonight at home against Dallas. Not really sure how they're going to answer, but we will find out. But not great right now, especially at practice as well. How did they even do at practice this morning? I guess we'll find out.
My best thing in sports, shout out to the Tennessee Vols last night for destroying Arkansas on the road. What was it, 92-61 or something like that was the final last night. They just absolutely destroyed the Razorbacks. Vandy with a nice buzzer beater the other night against the Aggies. So how about that for Texas A&M? They're at home, right? And they take down Tennessee on the road, play great in that game, can't miss from three. And then they go on the road to Vanderbilt and lose on a buzzer beater to Jerry Stackhouse and the Doors. So the last two performances that we've seen from the men's basketball teams here locally in the SEC have been pretty good. A win for Vanderbilt on a buzzer beater and a dominant win last night for Tennessee against Arkansas.
Look at you talking hoops. Yeah, the Vols, I think the Vols are okay. That was a thorough dismantling of not a great Arkansas team, but still, like, on the road at that place, still a talented team. It was very impressive.
I'm going to continue to talk hoots. My worst thing, wow. Joe Rexroad, South Carolina got beat by 40 last night. Auburn wins by 40 points against South Carolina at home. Now, Auburn played great last night, obviously. Bo Jackson was in attendance. Some poor fan walked up to him in the middle of the game, tried to take a selfie, and he was like, "Hey, man, no, go watch the game. Go watch the game." And Bo Jackson totally dismissed that guy, which was pretty funny to watch on television. But a 101-61 win for Auburn. South Carolina is starting to fade a little bit here, Joe.
Yeah, well, yes. It's weird, though. I mean, Auburn at that place – I mean, apparently that's like now like as raucous as a place gets in college hoops. I'd like to see that place.
They shot 60% from three.
Yeah.
60.
I mean, it's a very tough place. I mean, I think South Carolina's fine. Like they're, you know, they're still hugely exceeding expectations. Sure. But yeah, that place. I don't think Tennessee has to go there. I think they only get Auburn at home this year, which might be a big deal in the SEC championship race, actually.
Yep, for sure. So that's a big win for Auburn last night in the SEC title race here in the regular season, really starting to get pretty interesting. And the Tennessee to close out the season, what is it, Kentucky, Alabama, Auburn, and South Carolina in the last four games? That'll be fun.
Yes. And South Carolina is in this because of, that's the thing. The one thing that's happened with Tennessee is just the home loss of South Carolina, yeah. You know? If you didn't have that, you'd be in really good shape. So that's where they need to deliver that payback possibly to win the thing.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Cam on the text line says, best thing, the NHL trade rumors starting to ramp up, postseason high school basketball as well. The worst thing, a lull in sports, come on baseball season. This is from Cam on the text line.
Cam. Mm-hmm. Hey, pitchers and catchers, that's great, you know, and that's coming. And college baseball is about to get started. Yeah. But, I mean, we got some good hoops and hockey going on, man. Come on.
David in Arkansas, very upset with me. Come on, Robbie, do better than bragging about the Vols against the Hogs. We're not that good this year. Muss is having an unusual down year. Has he kept his shirt on the whole time this year?
Yeah, he looked very depressed last night. As far as I know, he's kept the shirt on. You know, it's a disappointing year. That team still has talent. And that's still – Bud Walton is still one of those places that can be – I mean, to go in there and beat that team by 30, I mean, Arkansas has had some good results, especially at home this year. That's not no small thing. I mean, you're talking about – Jonas Adu was absolutely unbelievable last night, along with Josiah James continues to play well. Gainey was great off the bench. Connect gets your 20-plus. Basically, they just – Vescovy has no – confidence in his shot to the point that the announcers are now calling him Vescovy again, which very much confused me last night.
Going back in time, Dustin from Hopkinsville on the text line says, I was already dreading Kentucky playing Auburn Saturday. Now I'm taking away all sharp objects from the home. Our defenses look better, but still a long ways to go. Dustin, not looking forward to the Auburn-Kentucky matchup.
I'm really looking forward to that game because I think it could be an incredible track meet. But, yeah, man, got to play a little D to hang in that place. But Kentucky has the horses to, you know, to still to beat anyone in my mind.
Well, hopefully if you're a Kentucky fan, Auburn doesn't shoot 60% from three. Because anytime that happens, you're probably going to be in trouble.
Yeah, that might not be great. It's actually big for Kentucky to beat Ole Miss the other night to kind of finally, you know, get off the schneid at home. So hopefully Michelle Perry is excited as she embarks on her new job soon.
What do you think about Vandy? Are they starting to generate some positive momentum here with Jerry Stackhouse and crew?
They'll get a couple more people, I bet. You know, I mean, you watch them, and that was the ultimate like home road contrast for Texas A&M. Like, how do you possibly go lose at Vanderbilt after what you did against Tennessee? But yeah, Vanderbilt will get someone else here or there. But long ago we knew it's. You know, you got to win five games in 5 days here at Bridgestone to get to the NCAA tournament, and that's obviously not going to come close to happening.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, we'll get into the Nashville Predators. They're back in action tonight against the Dallas Stars, and we'll get into why the other night's loss for me was more than just a singular loss. We'll get into all that. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.